So everybody, just share away. Share. Share for me. And I'm on Instagram right now saying hi to everybody. Squeezy Hut, what's up, yo? If any of you guys are here, Success Print Shop is in this hoe. It's good to see you. If any of you are in here from Instagram, man, do us a favor, head over to YouTube. Because that's where the real live show's going on. I'm just using Instagram as like a buffer to get you, to send y'all over there. Trying to hit 100 viewers on the live show today. Could be tough because it's directly after the holidays. This one will probably end up being one of the lowest ones until everyone gets back in the groove. But I need your help to get the view count up. Anyway, I'm going to take a moment of silence so that the wake screen has a... Anyway, you get it. But we're about to start the show, guys, so hang in there. One more thing, ladies and gentlemen, before we actually start the show, hold your questions until I officially start the Q&A. That way, I don't miss your questions, because I don't want to miss them. But if you start asking the questions early, more than likely I will miss them. So just hold your questions until the Q&A starts, okay? Okay, let's roll that intro. What's up, print fam? It's your boy Cam. Welcome to the Print Life Live. If this is your first time here, we talk screen print news, we talk screen print and business, and then at the end of all that, I do a Q&A where I answer your questions to the best of my ability. So, got a lot to offer. Here's what's happening in today's show. I made show notes. I'm trying to get professional with this shit. First, we're going to cover the industry news. Once I roll through that, we're going to move on to the Facebook news, where I cover independent shops and what they have going on, and I give independent shops little shout-outs on the show. So it's a win-win for everybody. As far as today's business topic, we're going to briefly talk about training your clients. And then once we wrap with that, we're going to conduct the Q&A. Again, please hold your questions until we officially start the Q&A, because if you don't, I'm more than likely going to miss it. All right. And then I got to do some reminders, you guys, because I've come to realize that a lot of the people don't even know that we're doing this every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So here's the official live time. I don't know. This is the official fucking schedule of the Print Life Live. Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Every Wednesday, without fail, I will be going live at least for the next 3 months. Along with that, I'm uploading a video every goddamn day of the week for the next 3 months. Now, y'all have heard me complain about that many, many times in the past, and how much work it is to do even just a couple videos a week. So doing a video every day of the week is a ton of work. Now, I'm doing this for a couple reasons. One, the more frequently you upload, apparently the faster your growth is. But I'm also doing it to just fucking hit you guys with a ton of useful content. Gonna do 2 vlogs a week, couple of tutorials, some product reviews. I'm gonna just start doing as much content as possible. Now, in exchange for this content, I need to call the print fam into action. Need you guys to help me get the channel out there, because my goal by the end of 2018 is to hit the 20,000 subscriber mark. The only way I'm gonna do that is to hit about 1,000 or 1,500 subscribers a month. New subscribers a month. That's tough. So the only way it's going to happen is with your guys' help. If you have industry connections, if you know magazine editors, anything like that, let them know what this is all about so that I can get interviews and shit like that to start growing this channel. Just, I need your connections to grow. Anyway, I was rambling there. Need your help. Cool. And then also remember that besides the live feed, the Print Life Facebook or the Print Life YouTube channel has screen printing vlogs, tutorials, product reviews, all kinds of shit. So tune in every day to get your fix. I'm offering you the remedy. I'm offering you your fix every day of the week. You just got to tune in. And to continuously get your fix, I need you to share it so that we keep growing. I need to grow. Anyway, let's move on to the social stuff and then we'll start. Social media reminders. first and foremost, follow me at Cam Irvin on Instagram and Twitter. If you haven't done that, go do it right now. And also share that we're live to as many places as possible. Subscribe to the Print Life podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Make sure to give me a 5-star review. Say something really nice, because then that helps with all the shit. Finally, send a request to the Facebook group titled The Print Life. It's the Print Life Facebook group. Most of you are coming over from there right now. But if you're not, head on over there, send me a request, and we'll get you approved. And then last but not least, share, and share my content some more. Share. You share, I grow. Need the hookup, guys. Anyway, intro's done, social's done. Time for the news. I got rid of those little placeholders. So it's Print Life news time. That's what I got. Okay, so news time. First thing on the thing, I got this from ImpressionsMagazine.com. RTP Apparel as far as we know, they're the first vendor to start accepting Bitcoin. So, dude, Bitcoin, guys, I don't know what's up with Bitcoin, but it's starting to grab hold. Don't know what that means. But anyway, RTP Apparel has decided to start accepting Bitcoin for their direct-to-garment t-shirts. So, the only way that you can pay them in Bitcoin is if you do it online. But as far as I know, as far as I've heard, they're the first persons in the industry to accept Bitcoin. So good for them. And as far as industry news, that's it. Useful, right? How'd you guys feel about that? I felt like I really dove in there. That was insightful. Now, the industry news is done, so we're going to move on to the Facebook group news. Now, in this section, you have the opportunity to share what's going on in your print shop. And if you do it well and you are articulate, then I will shout you out here in the live feed, and I will, you know, treat it like a news show and give you some, I don't know, fuck, cover some news, man. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say there, but you get the idea. This is the Facebook group. So beautiful, right? This is our feed right here. So let's see what's happening in the news, man. Now, if you're just listening to this on audio, I'm going to do my best to visually describe the photos and stuff like that. So it should still be good, but I'm also reading their news, so you don't need to see it to enjoy this part. First one on the list, this is recent activity, and he got a shitload of interaction from the group. This is from Mads Olesen. I know I said his last name wrong. I do that a lot. You guys are used to it. He's got some big shop news, some really big shop news. He's joining the team, man. He's joining the Rock team, as is pretty much every printer in the industry, it seems like. And he got himself a 12 station 10 color XL. He's getting it installed, man. He is the first and only press or Rock press in Denmark, so that's cool, man. It's looking good, man. Those presses are just so damn beautiful. Love it. Well, anyway, Mads, congratulations, man. That's a big deal. I bet you're going to love it. Let's see. On to the next piece of news. God damn it. There's more questions and shit. There's more questions lately in the Print Life group than anything. Questions. Lots of questions. Okay, here we go. Who's this? This is Brian Berry. And he's got some big shop news for the print fam. Here's what it is. I'm going to read his shit verbatim because it looks pretty good. He took a leap after Thanksgiving. It's a big leap. He's been a garage manual printer all his life. And he just jumped headfirst into a warehouse / automatic shop. Dude, good for you. Basically, what happened is he got this hookup on this space. And I mean, this space is fucked. Dude, this space. Can you guys see that? this space is beautiful with like the wood, probably laminate, but the wood floors and the open rafters. Looks like it's air conditioned. Oh man, it's nice. So he got that space on a hookup because it was sitting empty for so long, and they just made him a deal that couldn't be beat. So it sounds to me like, just being the opportunist that he is, he just took it. So that's awesome, man. I completely understand. And it looks like he also, along with the space, decided to automate in there. So he got like a whole kit. He got the hot rocket. He got the rock. I can't tell how many colors that is. Maybe 8? 10x8 maybe. Looks beautiful. And dude, we are all happy to hear it. Congratulations, man. Got a good deal, and now he's just crushing it. And this one, look at this. He had a lot of interaction, a lot of people happy for him. So congratulations, Brian. It's amazing. What else we got here? Dude, all these names, man. I feel like this is definitely, I don't know, man. This sounds like a foreign name. I'm going to do my best. It's Your Herbes, Herbs, Herbic. Your Herbic. You guys could, you see the thing. See it? Yeah, right there. You see the thing. Okay. His shop is sick, dude. There's something, this is like so clinical. I really like what you got going on here. And he just basically says, back to reality, man. He took some time off, and now he's in here. He's just crushing prints. But your shop is beautiful, bro. I love it. Gina LaRose just placed an order with Ryanet just placed an order with Ryanet not too long ago. They are getting the Riley Hopkins 6x2 semi-pro package. So they got the whole kit. That's awesome. To me, that's kind of the best way to go a lot of the times, because it just like, you ain't got to think about it. You get everything all at once. You're not piecing stuff together. So you can just kind of hit the ground running. I like that. Let's see. Okay, this guy, Adam Plyer. What's up, Adam? He's got some news for me. He's getting back into the business and trying to build a custom designed brand. He's a second generation printer, grew up around the industry, and was in the shop printing with his dad every day as a youngster. And he's basically taken a hiatus over a decade, but he's back at it, and he couldn't be happier with the decision. Congratulations, Adam. His dad was completely self-taught, and he'd mastered the craft through him. But it does lead into a question. I thought it was news. It's not news. But good job anyway. Guys, where's the news, guys? Where's the news? Okay, here we go. Richard Sessa shares a little bit of news. He was able to set up a store for the fire department on his website to set up orders for their clothing line. Now, his long-term goal is to set up a few of the departments in his area. He's wondering if anyone else is doing anything similar. So it did lead into a question. This was kind of news, led into a question. But I'm assuming you're using the InkSauce stores to do this. They touched base with me again, and Marshall explained it a little bit to me. It seems pretty cool. If that's your market, for sure, I bet you it's a useful thing, dude. And that looks cool. Is that InkSoft? Did you use InkSoft? Let me know. See if I got any more news, guys. I feel like we're a little light in the news department this time on the Print Life group, man. Also, you know what, y'all? If you are submitting news to the Print Life group, literally the first, this is just a good idea so it's easy for me to tell that it is news. Literally the first word in the post should be news. Just put news, or do the Print Life news semicolon or whatever, and then write your news thing. That way I can tell easily. That would help a lot. You guys just give me a second, because I'm still looking for any kind of news. There we go. Rob Campbell, 2018 is Rob's year. He's finally looking for a commercial rental space to get out of printing in his one-car garage. I feel you, blood. I feel like that here, dude. And I love this space, dude, but it's starting to get claustrophobic. So I feel you, man. But I'm just, dude, I refuse to pay a lot on rent. And in this area, downtown, in the downtown Phoenix area, the rent is just going. And it's pissing me off because it used to be so cheap around here. Anyway, doesn't really know how to begin looking. What features would you look for? How much space? Dude, all of that stuff depends. If you're just starting out with like a single press and just a medium-sized little electric dryer, I would say 1,000 square feet. If you're looking into two, man, you know, pretty much you need 1,000 square feet for, like, in my opinion, like every press. Right, so if you bring in two manuals, you need 2,000. And then I think with an automatic, I don't know, dude. I feel like 2,000 square feet open will cover like one, you know, like 10 by 12 auto with a decent sized dryer. But I'd say probably something like that, dude. I don't know with automatics, dude. There's other people that could answer that. I went into a question. God damn it. This is supposed to be news time. What are y'all doing to me? Hey, guys. See? I almost did another question. Dude. Well, spent the last day of 2017. So this is from Jason, and he was spending the better part of 2017 trying different emulsions just to try to figure out halftones. And he's, it looks like to me from this photo that he did figure it out. So congratulations on that. Now, are you, hopefully you're using a rip to create the halftones. It looks like you are. And it looks really good, man. Gosh darn it, man. Oh, here we go. So Eric just finished building his first exposure unit. This is, damn, you went all out with this, dude. With the halogen bracket, the whole thing. Looks really good. Hope it works out well for you. And a lot of this other news is like pre-2018, so it wasn't submitted today. Yeah, guys, we need to get more in the form of shop news on here, dude. So just no matter how big or small, just let me know the news and then say the Print Life News. And that way I can tell that it's news and that I can read it and everything will be good. But either way, dudes, that's freaking... that's the end of the news segment of this thing. That was sort of shitty this time. We'll get it next time. There's 73 of you. If you guys are just tuning in, do us a favor. Share that I'm currently live. And we're going to start the Q&A pretty soon, but we're getting ready to roll into the business topic of the day, which is training your client. But before I launch into that, share that we're live on YouTube on all of your social media. Just do it right now. Just share. Let them know we're here. I need y'all's help to grow this thing. Looks like right now we've had a peak thing of about 73 viewers, dude. It's not bad. I could deal with that. Who else we got in here, man? Ryan's, yeah, it's a 12 XL. Oh, Mark bought the equipment from them. Oh, cool. From who? All right. Anyway, guys, sorry, I got distracted there. I started reading the chat, man. It's super dangerous when the chat starts going, when it starts bouncing off, because sometimes it'll suck me in and then I completely lose track of what I'm doing here. But it's all good. Poor boys. Update your page on Facebook. I can't tell if you're directing it at me. If you guys have any statements or any shit like that, you got to put at the Print Life for me to know it's directed at me, because otherwise the chat is just kind of a blur. If you're directing a question or something at me or a statement at me, right now it should only be statements, not questions. But if you're doing that, hit at the Print Life. Anyway, guys, let's move on to the business topic of the day, man, because this is a fun thing for me to, this one, I don't know, man. I thought about it last minute this topic about training your clients only because I had a moment today with a client, and as I was interacting with them, I'm sitting there going, dude, this is like such a fucking thing that I've dealt with for so much, but over the years I've just learned how to control the conversation, and I felt like it might be kind of a good idea to share kind of how I do it with you guys, so that maybe you can speed up the quoting process ultimately. So here's how it typically goes down, right? You get a call, from the phone rings, a client's calling about, you know, a print project. Now you say, hey, this is how I'm going to go. Hey, thank you for calling whatever. My name's Cam. How can I help you today? Right? And you launch off of that. How can I help you today? And that opens the floodgates for them to give you a 15, 20 minute monologue on what they're doing and how they're doing it and their plans for the future and how if you can get a small order now, how in the next, they're going to give you a 10,000 piece order the next time and blah, blah, blah. They'll launch into a whole story, and I've had it take as much as 15 minutes in the early days, just trying to get them on track so that I can just get them a quote and, or talk about the actual project instead of their plans for the future. And, you've all been there. If you have a phone and it rings, then you've dealt with that client that wants to history you to death. And it's almost like they don't even want a price. They just want to tell you what their plans are and see what you think, right? But it doesn't work, right? And is there a way to prevent this waste of time? Yeah, there is. I gotta read my notes here because I could do this off a freestyle thing, but I made notes because there were some points I wanted to make. Yeah, so the right way to do that, in my opinion, and this is more or less what I do, is something along the lines of, thank you for calling, or they call, phone rings, I pick up the phone, thank you for calling Monument, this is Cam, are you looking to, or some shit like that, are you looking to place an order, or are you just looking for a quote? And then you didn't open the floodgates for them to give you a story. They'll typically follow up with something like, oh yeah, I'm just inquiring about an order I placed last week. Or they'll say, yeah, I'm just looking to get a quick price quote. Boom. You can cut them off right there. You figured out what they're looking for, and now you can lead in with a qualifying question. Usually, in my experience, here's another scenario too, is what's the other one? Thanks for calling. My name is Cam. Are you calling about, are you looking to place an order, or are you just needing to get a quote? Some shit like that, right? It's always something along those lines. And if you, instead of just going, how can I help you? If you ask them a question that's like kind of like a close-ended question that has a simple response, you can now move on and start controlling the process of giving them a quote or answering their questions in a timely manner. So once they say, oh yeah, I'm just looking for a quote, you can go, okay, awesome. Now you start qualifying. And usually what I'll do is say, are you familiar with any of the apparel brands on the market? Have you had a chance to print on any of them? Something along those lines. And typically they'll respond with, no, can you tell me some of your best selling garments? Or they'll say, oh yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I printed on the Canvas 3001 last time. And you can go, okay, you know, is that what you want to use this time? So on and so forth. And you can just lead them down those questions now. And you didn't waste, or they didn't waste 15 minutes of your time explaining the story to you. And pretty much just by asking them the closed-ended questions that qualify what they want, you can get through a quote, like a full quote, a complex quote, in 5 to 10 minutes if you just control it. So, and I've gotten it down like to a science, man. I'm in and out. And then I also figure out if they're looking for under minimums. I don't waste a bunch of time with them on the phone only to find out that they only want 8 pieces or even just 12 pieces. It's just a great way to handle it. So ask them these questions. So, you know, are you familiar with the garments? Yes or no? Cool. Do you already have your artwork? Yes or no? Cool. Cool. How many colors are in your artwork? Boom. And you can just run right down the line. You never get their story. Now, you have control of the process to this point. This also sets you up for a situation where, or actually, let me lead back into this differently. One of the things that I dealt with a lot, in the early days especially, was, not I guess, telling the client our terms and conditions before they placed the order. And because I didn't do that, if something was would come up that was part of our terms and conditions, it was a lot harder for me to enforce it. And because of that, what I learned is that you go over literally the most important terms and conditions with that client verbally, in person, or over the phone before you accept any payment from them. And what that has done is helped us prevent a lot of stupid shit. Like, we always let them know that we have a 3% misprint allowance, right, on Plastisol, and a 5% misprint allowance on discharge. Basically, they've placed the order. We know they're going to place the order. So now we can spend a few minutes reading their terms and then asking them, okay, do you understand? Are you okay with that? Good. And then you can move on to the next term. And you just keep reading those terms. And what I found is we have a bullet point of, I think, 7 of them that are most important terms that we have found that if we don't tell the clients that they bring it up later and they try to accuse us of not tell that they didn't know about it. And now they feel like entitled to a refund. And of course, we're going to give it to them because we didn't tell them about it. If you tell them about it, it won't pop up again. I promise you. If I didn't make sense there, just have a bullet point list of your most important terms and read those terms to the client before you accept payment. And what I have found is within doing that process, we're able to, like, our clients are trained on the system. And then when they do a reorder, it's like, it's not even a question. And then the reorders are even faster. And the next thing you know, man, we have clients now that can straight up place a reorder in like a fucking 2,000 piece reorder in 3 minutes because they understand the process so well. And our artwork approvals now, because we explain it and they're trained on how it works, are so easy. We never miss art approvals anymore. And it's not because of the system that I've integrated. It's as far as the website, it's because there is a system in place for what we do, and we explain what we do to the clients from the beginning. So if you guys can do that, basically make a phone script, right? And because this is what I did when I was a telemarketer, you have yourself a phone script. And as long as you stick to that thing, more or less, you stick to the pattern all the way through to the close, you won't miss a beat. You'll give the clients all the information they need, and it won't take you 30 minutes for every goddamn phone call. So hopefully that was helpful. That was our business topic of the day. Kind of went into like answering my own question kind of deal, but it was something. I wanted to talk about it because I was thinking about it a lot, man. It's like, I don't know, if you're an owner operator, at least in my opinion, the phones can just beat you to death, right? And then you combine that with email, and you combine that shit with your social media messaging, and like, it's impossible to keep up with. So if you can, in my opinion, systemize all those things to some degree, dude, it just makes life so easy. Like right now, other than my email deal and the social media things, our phone calls and the way we process orders is just like smooth as butter, dude. I'm stress-free. It's a beautiful thing. Anyway, that's it, guys. So it's time to move on to the Q&A. So if you're just tuning in, man, you can start firing your questions at me now. And you know to make sure to hit them at the Print Life so that I know it's directed at me. And I'll start answering. And if we have a lull in questions in the YouTube chat, then I'll move over to Facebook and I'll start answering some of the questions that were in the group feed, the Print Life group feed. Guys, gosh damn, I'm tired, kind of. Because I stopped drinking, side note, because I haven't drank any beer in a couple days, and I've more or less cut sugar out of my life, the only thing I'm drinking right now is caffeine. Fuck it. Like, I can't fall asleep at night, and then I'm like exhausted all day, dude. It's like I'm withdrawing or something. I feel crazy. Super crazy. That's weird, man. And it's fucking, I feel so stupid for doing all this shit right around New Year's, right? Because there's this idea that if you set New Year's resolutions, you're gonna break them. You're gonna fall off. But I swear to God, the only New Year's resolution I had was to quit drinking, or not even to quit 100%, to just stop drinking every day, right? Because I just drink beer every single day of the week. I just wanted to cut it down. Maybe right now I have to go cold turkey for a long period of time. But when I'm ready to get back to it, if I could just have a few beers once a week, I'd be a happy camper. So that's what I'm working on. But everything else is not a New Year's resolution, man. All this shit, like the cutting sugar out and all that stuff. It was just inconvenient that it's all coming up around now. But I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to stop. And the only reason I committed to doing daily uploads in January is just because I started thinking about it and how I wanted to start growing the channel. And it just made sense to set a date. But it's not a damn New Year's resolution. Even though it sounds a lot like a New Year's resolution. But it's not. I promise. It's not. Because I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to it. Believe me, I'm going to stick to it. Anyway, Q&A time. And the first one that I can see right here, this is where I'm starting, man. This is with Press Shop. Oh, wait, this is from the Press Shop. Oh, dude, I love that. Look at this shit right here. Press Shop just gave me a tidbit of information. This is why I love the Print Fam, dude. You guys are killing me. He says, next session, I can try searching The Print Life page for news to get rid of the fluff, so I can search news on The Print Life. I'll try it next time. Thank you for the tidbit. That would help a lot. But also, if you guys can just put The Print Life news, if it is intended to be read on this feed, that would be amazing as well. Here we go. The Ink Well. Again, if you guys, if the question is directed at me, you need to put at The Print Life so I can see it, or put a bunch of asterisks in front of the question, one or the other. The next one on the list here is the Inkwell. It says, yeah, great opportunity to upsell garments if you can. Oh yeah, the Inkwell. That's in regards to the training your clients thing. And yes, it is. The upsell on the, dude, the upsell on shit is such, it's so handy, man. I usually upsell in brackets first on the per piece price, you know. It'll be a little bit cheaper if you go up to the next pricing bracket. And then I'll usually try to add on like some sweatshirts or some tank, some alternative thing, because it just adds more to the bottom line. That's like the trick to it. You get them to the next pricing bracket, or this is sneaky shit, but if you can get them a few pieces below it, and then you can get them some fluff shit like a sweatshirt or whatever, and then to where it adds up just below the next pricing bracket, that's where you make a damn killing. Yeah, try not to hit the price. I've seen a lot of print shops do that. Like, I get quotes from people, and they're like, yeah, they priced this out at 35. They said that was the next bracket, and you look at it, and it's way more expensive, you can just tell, than if they had gone to 36 pieces. Anyway, more questions. Silk Visions. What are some of the terms, if you don't mind me asking? Sure. Matter of fact, I can go to it. It's on our checkout page. It would take me a second because I don't have it memorized. Literally, the way our website works now is that because we process payment through the website, and when you click process payment, a goddamn terms window pops up, and if the client's checking out on their own, they have to accept the terms. But then if we're doing it for them over the phone, I literally read the terms verbatim to them and then ask. And we also record them agreeing to the terms on the phone. So it's this whole thing now. But some of the big ones are that they understand the misprint allowance, that they understand the artwork approvals, that they understand that they cannot change garment sizes or colors after they make a payment. And if for some reason they absolutely have to, then there's going to be a 35% restocking fee. And that's 5% over our restocking fee to the warehouse. Because, of course, we're going to send it back to the warehouse if we don't need it. So they're going to pay that shit as well. And the reason that term is there is because we order the second the payment is made. Actually, that's not true. We don't order it until the artwork is approved. But in our system, and this was done intentionally, once the payment is made, they can't change jack shit. We can't even manually do it. They can't go in and change the quantities. They can't add other colors, none of that shit. So we emphasize over and over and over again to not make a payment. Do not say that you're ready to place the order until you are 100% sure that your quantities and your colors and all that shit are correct. That's one of our biggest terms. We're like fucking crazy about it. And then that within 48 hours, we'll upload a mock-ups for their approval. And if they don't approve them within 48 hours, then their delivery date will extend. Dude, there's so many of them. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Now I'm having a brain fart. There was one. There's another really important one, but for the goddamn life of me, I can't think of what it is right now. Let me go to my website real quick, and I'll tell you. Monumentlimited.com. It's hang on. Oh yeah, another big one for us because we ran into it all the damn time is the what we have basically done is if for some reason either we didn't order them or someone counted them in wrong or for God's sakes there was like 12 of them that were like misprinted or had holes in them. That's the biggest one a lot of the times, especially from fucking Next Level. There'll be holes and unstitched seams and shit. But anyway, in our terms it says if the sizes are wrong or they're short 12 or less pieces or they're misprinted 12 or less pieces, we're going to refund it. We will not reprint it if there's 12 or less. And that one got us, it was just always a hassle for us. So we let them know before they can even make a payment. That way, if there is 12 or less of them, we just have to refund it. We don't have to deal with resetting it up. What happened in the past, a lot of the times, if we didn't warn them about that, was that they would hit us and say, oh, dude, three of them had a misprint. We need those three. And, you know, obviously their order was pretty exact. And because we didn't warn them about it, we felt obligated, or I felt obligated, to reprint them, even if it was three, which meant we had to set the whole goddamn job up and all that shit. Now, when you read this term to them, almost always, I shit you not, when you read that, if there's 12 or less misprints for whatever reason, we're going to refund it. We're not going to reprint it. Almost without fail, they will add an extra 6 shirts to the order. Like, almost every goddamn time. Because, you know, in their mind, they're like, oh, we have the exact amount. But just telling them that, and they know that there could be some, there's margin, there's error margins in this industry, they know that they have to pad their order. And they do it almost every damn time. That one's one of the big ones, actually. What else was there? Oh, and another one is, and we did this, we run into this a lot because a lot of inexperienced, dude, now I'm going on with this shit forever. A lot of people that are inexperienced with the graphics industry as a whole, they don't understand color matching. They don't understand that each screen, a red on this screen and this screen will look like three different shades of red. Inexperienced people don't understand that. So we basically made a term that stated if they cannot, we do not guarantee color matches if they cannot give us an exact, Pantone color book code. And, that has helped us immensely. So basically if they say red, it's going to be red. If they say burgundy, it's some version of burgundy, but we will not guarantee exact shades. The only way we'll do it is if it compares to the book. And the only way to do that is if they give us a damn number. And that has just helped us in the beginning. A lot of the times the people would say, oh, we wanted red, but I meant I wanted a burgundy, right? Like, oh, it was a burgundy. It looked like burgundy on my screen, on the mock-up that you sent me. And what we basically ultimately say is, dude, we don't guarantee that kind of stuff unless you give us a code. And the whole point of that is because the colors look so different from screen to screen. And it's helped us a lot. We don't have as many – it still happens every once in a while, but we don't have that miscommunication on color matching as much. So, yeah, a red is a red. A burgundy is a burgundy. To some degree, we don't guarantee exact shades unless they give us a Pantone number. Then we'll guarantee it. But even then, we're only going to compare it to the book, not to the Pantone look. The way it looks on screen, it only if it compares to the book, and we can prove it, you know, because we can take the sample, hold the book next to it, they match, we're good, we're safe. And there was a couple other ones. This last one is extremely important. We read this every single time. Oh, one of the big ones too, dude, I forgot about this. I read this right away before I do anything. I tell them to save our phone number in their phone. Because a lot of times what happens is if you're not saved in their phone, it's an unknown number. I know I don't answer unknown phone calls. they won't answer if you're calling them. And sometimes you need an answer from them quick. So now, literally, I shit you not, every time, no matter what customer we talk to, before we take payment from them, we tell them to save our number in their phone. And then that way, if we're calling them, they know to pick up right away because it's probably an urgent question that we need to ask them. So you guys should all do that one. Tell them to save your contact number in their contacts every time. And then the last one is just in regards to them doing their due diligence in regards to both garment color and the fitment of the garment. We basically do not accept responsibility if a particular brand of garment runs small or big or is boxy or is slim cut. It's the client's. It is their problem. They have to do their own due diligence in regard to all of that, in regards to all of that. And I literally read it verbatim. It says customers must do their due diligence in regards to garment size, and they assume all responsibility for sizes ordered. We do not accept responsibility if you order the wrong sizes, if the garment does not fit as expected, or if the garment color is different than expected. Please remember, we do not manufacture these garments. We order from the manufacturers and print on them. And then once we read it to them, we say, do you understand? Does that make sense? Do you have any questions? They say yes. We're good to go. Yeah. So that's that, guys. The terms thing, super important. And you always read it. See, you get that shit out of the way, and then they don't have any questions. You get all of their grievances out before you can fuck that shit up. So, anyway, next one. Dude, I'm crazy when it comes to answering questions, bro. Fuck, that was like the longest. Oh, my Lord. Okay, who's next here? Okay, the Inkwell saying, yeah, it'd be a great resource if I could share my points or script. Yeah, I'll do that at some point. I've gotten really bad. I keep saying that I'll share all of my little scripts and all my documents and stuff. I think to some degree I'm totally down to share it, but at another kind of thing, man, I feel like each shop has their own things that they need to warn clients about, and each one's different. Like for us, the color matching thing was always a problem. Maybe because I didn't explain it to the clients properly on how it all works, but it was just always a problem. So it mattered to us. But I've had shops that say that they've never had clients complain about a color match, right? So each one is different. All of these terms are kind of specific to one printer's shop. But really just the phone script in the beginning and controlling them and is all, that's really the most important thing. And then right before the payment, just telling them what your terms are, the things that you don't like to, just start making notes of it, dude. You guys will move through it. But yeah, I'll share mine. I'll share it with you. Yeah. Okay. Let me see here. Oh shit. Shroom Brothers just gave me a super chat. Thanks, Shroom Brothers. I'll get to your thing in a second, dude. I'm working my way down the list, but I'll get to you here. Prototype 8. Does RIP software ever support anything besides Epson, specifically Canon PIXMA IX6820? I love this printer, but halftones are going to be needed. You know what, dude? I have heard that they cover a handful of them. I think that they do Brother and stuff like that too, but you can't quote me on that because I've never confirmed it. I would just go to the AccuRip website, and I almost guarantee that their fucking the FAQ has the answers to that question. I'll bet you it does, dude. There's some kind of search that will let you know on their website. But let me know if you figure that answer out, dude. But I'll bet you they do. Inkings Inc. What's up, dude? Good to see you. Do you put lightly inked screens in your dip tank, or do you clean the ink before reclaiming? Or is it eating both ink and emulsion? Yeah, the dip tank, dude, you just scrape the big chunks of ink out. You don't have to. We just scrape the big shit out. Just real quick. Shoot, shoot. Put it back in the bucket, or we trash it depending on the state of it. And then we put it in the dip tank, let it sit for 2 minutes, pull it out, spray that sucker off, man. Real simple. The dip tanks are awesome, bro. Fabian, what's up? What's up? You ever upload your work order form? We don't have a work order form. Our website is our work order form. Everything is, we're like pretty much paperless, dude. Even in the shop, they use iPads. The iPad is their work order. Like, the invoice is a work order. That's the way I set my whole website up. The invoice literally looks like a work order. So the printers are working off the exact same thing that the client is looking at. And it's viewable on an iPad. So that is our work order. You can't upload it. But it was cool, man. I love the system I built, dude. I have a feeling Printavo is going to copy it, dude. I have a feeling they're going to copy the flow of the whole thing, dude. Like, you know, the way I got, I'm sure you guys have all looked at monumentlimited.com, how it goes, the product page and how it shows the shirt. But then if you hover over it, it shows the model shot and all the bestseller shit. And then it goes in stages, right? Like there's the quoting is in like stages in each page. I have a fucking feeling that Printavo's going to copy it. I'm not sure, but I have this sneaking suspicion that it's going to get copied. I expected it when I built it though. I had this sneaking suspicion. But then you guys will all be able to have something similar. So at the end of the day, I guess it would be a good thing. Just not for me. What else we got? Black Creek Customs. Yeah, it's the same thing as what he was asking about the work order. Our quoting software is custom made. So it is a spreadsheet, but I made it. Dude, I tried all the solutions. I tried Printavo. I even talked to Bruce back in the day about him adding the features that I ended up eventually building on my own on the website, about the front-end quoting system. And he actually asked me to help him pay for it. I don't mean to put people on blast like that, dude. Or to help him with it. But, and my conclusion to all that shit, that cloud-based software and stuff, is that it's awesome. If you're willing to, I guess, ultimately flex to what they have decided is a priority, right? And in a lot of ways that's cool because they're all industry professionals, but my software is built, everything about it, the front end is one thing, but even the back end was built to my specs, to the way that I need to see, to the way that I need it to work, right? And not just because someone has 20 years of experience doesn't mean that the way that they want to deal with project management works for me. So at the end of the day, if you can deal with somebody else's vision on how you should manage your shop, then these pre-made systems from Printavo or Inksoft or whatever, they'll do you fine. And they work really well. You can also use Trello, which is free. And dude, I was looking at the things that Trello offers. And dude, it's powerful. All of you guys should look at Trello, start kind of learning how it works, and you might be surprised at what you could pull off in terms of a shop management system just on that. It's an impressive thing, dude. But if none of those things will work for you, maybe even you guys consider just having someone build you your own custom thing. It's going to be expensive. Like your entryway into it would probably be 10 to 20 grand-ish, depending on how complex you want it to be. And it can go way up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm sure that mine will cost way more than that when I'm all done with it. And I am going to tell you guys this now officially. It's at least a year out, but I am going to do some kind of a plug-in thing for WordPress because I built my site off WordPress. I will be sometime out offering, selling it, probably not like a monthly thing, but like selling the plug-in. To people probably within a year. It's a long ways out because I'm still developing the software and making it everything that I want it to be. And then I will be offering it, but it's a long ways away. So in the meantime, you may have to settle with something like that. The cool thing about a WordPress plugin as opposed to something else, like these cloud-based softwares, is that if you buy the plugin, and then if you decide that, and actually, I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if you can modify the code. I think you can because you can do it with like WooCommerce and shit. As long as I make it open source, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't decided on it yet, but I am thinking that I'm going to convert it to some kind of thing that you guys have access to at some point, but it's a ways out. But where I was going with that is that if you have something that you need to have that it needs, you think it could work a different way better, then you should just build it yourself. Like if you look at the way that our quoter works on monumentlimited.com, there's nothing else like it in the industry right now. Now it's going to get copied for sure, but right now there's nothing else like it. And I just felt like it would make the most sense to do it that way. So I did it that way. And you may look at it and go, ah, I don't like the way that works, but I would like to have it work like this. And you can build it, dude. It's not as hard as you would think. You just got to find a developer that's capable, and you're going to waste some money trying to find a good developer or developing team, which is what we have now. But yeah, dude, that's the way it goes sometimes. If you, Shroom Brothers, dude, thank you for the super chat. That is goddamn amazing. I can't believe that. And he said to have a drink on him. He almost clicked the buy button on the new Flash today. So still working. Is it still working? So it is, man. I mean, we've only worked with it one day. We're super slow right now. Our pipeline isn't full at all. But Jesse was running with it. He freaking loves it. It's not, it only has six lamps. Like you guys probably saw it in the vlog. It only has six lamps instead of eight. So I assume if it were eight lamps and a little bit higher voltage or wattage, it could probably cure a Flash thing in like 6 seconds. But Jesse said, excuse me, he said he needs to hit it for like 9 seconds. And that sounds long, but he did say that it was actually fine. He doesn't feel like it slowed his thing down. It actually sped him up because he just knows when it's done. Just the fact that it's automated and that he can see the light go off and he knows that it's Flash and he doesn't have to worry about it. And the fact that the pallets don't get baking hot. He just said it's better all the way around. So you guys don't, you know, we're going to let it run for a couple months. So maybe just, you could, of course, hit the buy button. It's not very expensive, but if you're on a budget, wait till March and I'm going to do a full review of that thing, man. I'm going to put my stamp of approval on it, or I'm going to say, fuck that thing. Right now, I'm kind of confident in it. But I just think that it doesn't quite get as hot as like a premium one from M&R or from Rock or from Ryanet or whatever. But it maybe gets hot enough, especially if you're a smaller operation like we are. But that's that. Jamie says, the withdrawal will pass. I did the same thing and it got much better after a few weeks. And now I can still have a few drinks a week and it's great. That's cool, man. Hopefully that's not what this is withdrawal. That would suck if I was actually... if my little bitch ass was withdrawing. I just feel like it is, right? Laying there fucking at night, sleepless. I've always had a hard time falling asleep. But right now, it's like crazy. Yeah, so I feel like I haven't slept in 2 days. It's fucked up. But thank you. It's good to know that it will go away. Gina says that that Ryanet has one that you can download. I'm assuming that's the work order form. So yeah, good to go. Poor boys, what do you think about AutoPress or DTG? Not sure which way to go. Honestly, my man, I think I talked about that in the vlog. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, let's talk about that. I, over the course of the last year, I don't know what the fuck it is. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's the fact that I started the channel and I'm out in the public. Somewhere along the line, I got it in my head that I needed an automatic. And that I needed a direct-to-garment printer. First things first, as far as the DTG goes, from what I've heard, man, across the board, no matter where you go or what you do, my Instagram feed just ended. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, when it comes to... hang on, guys. Fuck. When it comes to DTG, man, the technology is just not there yet. And the ones that you can afford, like the under 30K machines, they're just having issues with clogging and they're just not reliable. So I would say right now, in my opinion, it's not time yet. The only way that I would give my stamp on a DTG thing is if I had one and ran it for 6 months and I could tell you, and I don't. So I just can't give you any true feedback. I can only tell you what I've heard. But y'all know what you heard is oftentimes total bullshit. So I can't really give you an opinion on that. And in regards to the automatic, over the course of the last year, for some reason or another, I just got it in my head that I needed a goddamn automatic. And the more I look at it, nothing in this business told me I needed to other than the quality control. I do feel like having an automatic gives you more control over squeegee pressure and, you know, all of those kind of things. That's the main reason I always wanted one. But then I started getting this feeling like I needed one because I was in the public eye to keep, at the end of the day, it was to keep up with the Joneses. Okay. And And luckily, goddammit, like so luckily, Marshall Atkinson reached out to me because he wanted to interview me for the podcast that he's doing, right? The Big Idea. And then after we did the interview, I just asked him some questions about it. And I just said, you know, let me just ask you straight up, dude. In your experience, how do you know when it's time to get an automatic? And the first thing he says to me is, all right, well, where does that fall in your business plan? And I go, well, I don't have a business plan. And he goes, Dan, it's not time to get an automatic. And it just, you know, fucking, it was like a light bulb just went ka-tling, right? I didn't even know. Like he's walked me through it now, and I'm starting to understand how it works. But when it's time to automate, truly, again, dude, I'm not, if you decided to do it, hell yeah, dude, more power to you. But for the people that haven't done it yet, this is more for you, maybe. You should be like, you should know, right? Like you should be able to have like a cost per impression, and based on that impression, if you add this expense to it, you'll know how much more you need to charge to cover the cost of that kind of thing. You need to have a really strong understanding of your budget and where things are going to automate, in my opinion, now. So before I consider doing it, before any of you guys ever consider doing it, what I would suggest, and this is based on what Marshall told me, and keep in mind, he's tightened up with all these guys. He's tight with Ryanette. He's tight with M&R. He's tight with everybody. So he could probably only benefit from hooking me up with a sell on something like that. I'm sure he could get even a goddamn commission off it. But he told me straight up, no. You need to understand your numbers. You need to know what your budget is. You need to know what your cost per impression is. And from there, you can make a logical decision as to whether or not it is time to automate or whether or not it's even time to move into a new space. If you're just starting in this business, dude, get on QuickBooks, start tracking what you're spending, do that five buckets thing. I talked about it with him in pretty good detail, and it's amazing, and it will really help you understand what you need to do. So fuck that, man. Back to the whole thing you're talking about, automatic or DTG. In my opinion, get a small manual press. It's going to be half the price of all that shit, way more reliable, and start learning how to run a t-shirt printing shop. And the only reason I say don't get a DTG is because I can't recommend one that's reliable. If they were reliable and I'd heard they were reliable, I would say go that route all day long. But my understanding is they're not yet. Hopefully that answered your question and gave you some insight and also explained why I felt like I needed an auto and now how I've moved past it. I'm actually going to do a vlog about this. So I basically just gave away my vlog, but it'll be a more organized version of what I just said. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Anyway, yeah, dude. It's weird, especially when you're in this position that I've for some reason decided to put myself into, which is being on videos. You do, man. Like I see just these beautiful shops being built, and it's so sick, and you want one so bad. But then, like, luckily for me, logic set in for me, and I just realized that based on a number of factors that it's just not time yet. It's not time, because I did, like, I got approval. I went all, dude, I had approval for financing the whole thing. It's ready to go. Ready to go. And luckily I had a conversation and I backed out. Now, that's not to say that I'm not going to invest in equipment, but before I start investing in anything, man, that my numbers are going to make sense. I'm going to know where I need to go. The thing is that if you know what you're making on average, you know what your costs are, what your expenses are for average, if you add another expense into it, you can then take it down to your impression price, and you'll see that it's only a few cents more that you have to do for each impression. But when you know those numbers, you can decide if it's the right choice or not. I'm still trying to figure that shit out too, but we're going to do a whole video series on getting your numbers lined out. So I tell you what, by the end of 2018, everybody that's part of the print fam, they're going to know how to write a business plan. They're going to know how to evaluate their costs. They're going to know. You guys are going to know all this. You want to know how you're going to know? Because I'm going to learn how to do it, and you guys are going to watch me learn how to do it. And then when you watch me learn how to do it, you'll know. I'm going to answer all the questions, everything, video by video, throughout the course of the year, man. It's going to be sick. I'm super excited about it. Fuck, I ranted on that one for a long time. Let's move on. How about it? Dude, I need to go back live on Instagram, guys. Hang on. It apparently Instagram times out after 30 minutes. Here we go. Yeah, dude, but, and then one more thing though, bro, because I feel like I was harping on it. If you've decided to automate, dude, just fucking go for it. But between direct to garment and automatic right now, I would rather have an automatic screen print and press. But there's a lot of infrastructure with automating too. If you're just getting into the screen printing world, dude, hell no. Unless you have disposable income that you're not scared of losing, I would just start with a small manual press. That's where I would start. You got to learn the business. You got to acquire washout booths. You got to get the space. You got to get all that shit, dude. And it is, no matter which way you slice it, even if you niche up and even if you put a business plan together to acquire clients and market your services, it's still hard to do. And 80% of businesses still fail. So that's the cool thing about screen printing. The cost of entry is low. So you don't have to put a huge investment out there to see if you can make it work. On the flip side of that, if you put a huge investment out there, man, you're like saying, fuck it, I'm going to make this work. And there is something to be said for that too. So don't listen to what I say, man. Do what you're going to do. But that's my advice. And dude, I'm wrong a lot. So it's all good either way. Gosh darn it. I saw some. Here we go. This is from Scott King Designs. Looking to upgrade to Elite Series 2 manual press. The Elite upgrade from where I'm at. Have you used one in the past? It's a lot of money. Any input would be awesome. Let me look at what this is. Because for some reason I can't think of what that is right now. It's not Vastex, is it? Give me a sec. Gosh darn it, dude. Oh, the Raynar. Okay. I know jack shit about this particular screen printing press. I mean, literally, I don't know anything about it. It looks nice. The only thing I would suggest, dude, like, you, for me, no matter what press I go with, it has to have the M&R style slide brackets because that's the most universal bracket at the moment. I'll bet you the Rock bracket will be soon enough in the next 5 years. But right now, the M&R is the most universal bracket. So as long as it can be retrofitted with slide style brackets for M&R, even if it's a third-party manufacturer, then any manual press is good. I do see that it has arms supporting the pallet arms. So, you know, there's stabilizers to prevent pallet deflection. It does have bearings. You know what? I'm gonna bring the. Oh, it's not gonna work. Fuck it. It does have bearings in the gate, so it would hold tight registration. It looks like a really good press, dude. As long as you can retrofit it, or maybe it even has the option to get M&R slide style pallet brackets, then it would be a money machine. But what I would definitely say, this is my opinion, of course. It's not gospel. No matter what manual press you get, just get one that has the M&R style slide bracket. Because you can find pallets for that used on eBay. You can buy them new from Action Engineering. It's the most universal bracket in America. So that it's just, you want that option. Like I was able to upgrade the Antec Legend to an M&R bracket. So now I can use pallets on it. So as long as you could do that, that press would be dope. It looks really nice, actually. Looks really nice. Shit. So yeah, that's that. Let me get back to my questions. Yeah, I would say the Elite, dude, I would say it looks dope. Okay. Yeah. Brian Barry says, how important is the office you're filming from? And can you do a video of all the cool shit on your shelves and walls? I can. Yeah, I could do. I mean, dude, they're all just like bourgeois indulgences, right? Like I have this weird obsession with these vinyl figures, bro. And, oh, you guys see Deadpool up there? You could barely see him. My buddy Jesse got me that for Christmas. Isn't that? That's amazing. A little Deadpool. And then I also got Elmo, the Cause. All my Cause figures are knockoffs. because I can't afford the real ones because they're thousands of dollars. So I got the knockoff ones. But, dude, yeah, I'll do a whole video on it at some point. Maybe I'll do a vlog of all my shit. But the Office is so important for me because it's kind of like my little sanctuary. And, you know, I walk in here and it's like, it's creative time. You know what I mean? I got my toolbox in here. I got surfaces everywhere. I got my desk. So this kind of space, in my opinion, is the most important thing. It doesn't have to be walled off by any means. I would be just as cool at having it if it was one big open space. But I just have to have my space. I have to have my spot. Got to do it. My creative spot. It's got to be done. And that's, I love it, dude. I have to have my space. I'm going to repeat. Gotta have my space. When does the Prit Life get its home base? Hard to share the Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, etc. A central hub we can point people to would be nice. The central hub is the YouTube channel. That's it. Jason, are you talking about all of these avenues are all supposed to point to the fucking YouTube channel for now. As far as an actual the Prit Life website, I don't know. I can't buy it. The printlife.com is not available. I got the print.life based on one of the Print Fam's recommendations, but dude, the hub is the YouTube channel. That's where you can interact with me on the comments. That's where I'm most active in responses and replies. Just send everyone to the YouTube channel and get them to subscribe and to watch all my shit. That's right now the only avenue I care about is that. Now I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do the website thing, but more than likely it will just be a page on monumentlimited.com. The monumentlimited.com / the Prit Life, which is available right now as well. Shroom Brothers. Yeah, dude, either way, dude, I responded to it. I like the chat thing. And thank you so much for the super chat. It's amazing. Brian Betty, how important is anyway, moving on. Jason O'Connor, yeah, answered your question. The Inkwell, can you link to your terms? I can't find them on your site. Yeah, the terms aren't available until you go to check out. There is no, like, it's part of the process, dude. Let's see here. Or, and then the full term sheet isn't available until it's on the invoice. Nice topic, bro. Yeah. Thanks, dude. Shroom Brothers, another one. Super chat. Bye-bye. Love the super chats, guys. It lets me know you care. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Looking for more questions. I know they're in here. Oh, you're welcome for the answer, dude. I feel like elaborating today, but my brain's mush because I feel like I haven't slept, so I could... my talking points, they could go anywhere. I can't even plan where they're going to end up. I'm just letting it roll. Creative Design Inc. Hey, Cam, how high do you set the off contact for your hoodie? Does it really matter? It does matter. I mean, honestly, dude, the issues with the hoodies is because of that fleece that's, you know, underneath it. It raises it up a little bit, but you just want your typical eighth of an inch of off contact from whatever the surface is. You know what I mean? Sometimes, I mean, usually my rule of thumb is just always the width of a quarter. As long as your mesh is tight and all that stuff, that's more than enough. Now, if you got some loose mesh and you're having issues with that, maybe just go the width of a couple quarters. I don't know. Usually I just use quarters, dude, instead of measurements, because who's going to bust the damn ruler out and say, oh, is that an eighth of an inch or is that 3/8 of an inch? You know what I mean? But just the height of one quarter or the height of two quarters stacked on top of each other, that's all you need. But the maximum I would go is off contact is two quarters stacked on top of each other. No higher than that. That's the non-technical method. Empty pipes are problems. Depends on how you look at it. Yeah, man. You're welcome. I got a flash just like it. Been going 6 months. Poor boy says, so you got that same automatic flash thing, the quartz flash from eBay, and it's been going for 6 months strong? Dude, in my opinion, at $500, even if you had to get one a year, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? DTG for on-demand print and automatic presses if you have constant orders. So, yeah, that's what R says. R? Yeah. Yeah, in my opinion, though, dude, DTG, dude, like, it's just, it's rough, dude. Like, I remember the shop I used to work at, they had one of the early brother DTGs, and that thing was down for maintenance more often than it was printing. Now, granted, that was an older model. Things have gotten better, but I've heard they haven't gotten much better unless you step up to that, like, Cornette range of shit, and those things are expensive. So, yeah, I mean, dude, in my opinion, I would just avoid DTG right now. I would just get an entry-level screen printing shop. That's what I would do, man, and focus on that. And from there, your customers and your numbers and all that stuff, they'll tell you when it's truly time to step up. You know what I mean? And this is another thing to keep in mind. Like, and I forgot this too, and the reason I kept thinking automatic, and I shit you not, if I'm being honest with myself and I'm being honest with the fam, it's because I was trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's it. That's it. And you'll find in most cases, the exception to that is that quality control is amazing, right? Like having an automatic, being able to have the same consistent squeegee pressure and stroke and all that, that's an amazing thing for sure. That reason alone, in my opinion, is a reason, a defining reason to automate. Like, but beyond that, dude, you'll find that if you're really honest with yourself, you may not have the work right now. You may be planning to get it, but more than likely, you don't have the work to actually constitute that monster. If you're a manual shop, it's easier to do a double shift or to hire a second set of people and do a double shift when it's busy season right now. And it may cost you a little bit more in labor, but the... just like anyone that automates will tell you, man, the automatic brings up a series of other problems, right? And once you have it, once you've locked into that thing, you got to make it. It's just like the lease on your building, man. You got to make that payment, whether you're dead slow. That's the real fear, when you're dead slow. I would say, dude, do a manual shop. Run that thing until you're doing a double shift. If you're doing a double shift with two different sets of employees, with a manual dude, like temp people, two different shifts of temporary people and a couple of printers, and you're doing two shifts and you're still getting overwhelmed, then it's probably time to automate. That's like that's how I would gauge my workload if I wasn't going to do the whole numbers business plan thing. That's how I would gauge it. If you're doing two shifts manually, then it's probably time to automate, and you can cut it down to one shift and you'll still manage the payment and all that stuff. It's a good rule. I kind of just winged that, but that's kind of how I always based it. And we did get to that point where we were doing that kind of stuff. But then even then, dude, it still falls off, bro. I got a negative Yelp review and a negative Google review when we were transitioning from the old dog shit order processing system to the new one. We were putting phones in and all that shit. And I missed some phone calls and stuff like that. And because of those negative reviews, it seems like a lot of our work tanked, dude. We stopped getting future clients. But then I learned to cultivate our existing clients, so I was able to pull it back. But you never know what, you'll never know what'll happen, dude. Anyway, where the fuck was I going with that? What is the best what is the best option for custom numbers and lettering? Die cut vinyl, for sure. For sure, for sure. I did it for a long time, and it's actually a nice little moneymaker. I thought that I put that in the vlog yesterday, but I think I ended up cutting it out. But I talked about it in yesterday's vlog because I got a phone call about it. Die cut vinyl is the way to do it. The issue with it that I had, even back in the day, was assigning it to different sizes and stuff like that, and those lines getting crossed and all that kind of stuff. So for me to bring that back, I really want to have it the ordering process dialed in, and I'm going to do it because it's a nice little moneymaker, and you should consider it, but definitely die-cut vinyl and a clamshell heat press. Don't get Chinese-made heat presses, dude. I had bad experience with that. Okay, so you, and this is in response to that DTG thing from Gina. She says that she ordered some shirts from a DTG printer just because she didn't want to print them, and she said the print was not good. She'll never do it again. So, well, not for dark garments anyway. So that's the question, man. And there are DTGs that are killing it. Like, I know the Cornettes, bro. I've seen the print results. They're crazy. And, like, I think Brother is starting to step up their game, and they're getting, like, recirculating systems, and it's getting there. It's just not there yet, and it's only there in the higher-end models, I think. But I could be wrong, dude. Fuck. Don't take my word for it. Yeah, so, actually, Design Gnome just said right here that Brother has some nice DTGs. And I used to work on the old one, and it sucked butt. But I saw some of their newer models. They're stepping up their game. I think that they have actual legitimate print heads made for it now. And it looks, I mean, yeah. I just can't say it. I haven't done it. Don't know. But I do remember the old Brother ones, and that thing was down more than it was up. I know. Who else we got, guys? I'm getting tired of talking. I've been babbling for forever. Shirt Kong. Before you buy your first auto, and I think that you're close, call me. Okay, I'll call you. I'm a long ways out. I've actually, after having the conversation, I've straight the fuck up, changed my whole mentality back to the mentality that I had when I first started this thing. And that's where we're going now, man. The whole new marketing niche, everything that I was planning on doing this year has reverted back to what my original goal was back in the day when I first started this thing. And if I had written a business plan then, I wouldn't have gotten off track so many goddamn times. But now I'm going back to that. And I can't share exactly what it is yet because I'm going to shoot videos about it to better express myself. But I vlogged about it a little bit in the last thing just to give you guys kind of like a precursor to where I'm going with the channel this year. Screen printers can use a DTG the right way, but DTG guys usually can't screen print. They don't understand fabric and how the ink is laid down. Okay, it's true. Gene LaRosse. Okay, guys, I'm going to get through these questions and let's cut it there, guys, because I'm getting tired and we've been on this thing for a minute now. I got to eat. Maybe Panda Express because I don't want to cook tonight. I've been cooking my own stuff every single night. I'm killing it. Just got to start exercising again. Gene, I used to use dual cure emulsion. Not sure if they're different, better emulsions out there. Any advice? Dude, there are like two schools of thought on this because we use dual cure emulsion and I goddamn love it. We use dual cure emulsion and then we just do a stencil hardener after the washout and it works fine with water-based ink. It reclaims good and it holds halftones, in my experience, up to 65 lines per inch. And we usually only print 55, so sometimes 65. So in my opinion, dual cure is fine. The only issue with it is it has a fairly short shelf life. We keep it in the fridge to extend it because we buy them like 4 or 5 gallons at a time. And we run through it so fast that it's no problem. So in my opinion, dual cure is awesome, dude. I've heard good things about CryoCoat from Ryanet. We personally use Marukami Photo Cure Blue. And then I just recently bought some super high solids emulsion for doing that high density shit that I was tried to show you one time and it ended up failing miserably. So I'm going to do it again in another video with this new emulsion that's made for creating high density screens. And I'm going to show you guys all about that too. But I think dual cure is awesome, man. But I have heard a lot of people complain about it, but it's mainly the shelf life issue. Okay, Fabian has an OmniPrint DTG, and he said it prints amazing. But the caveat, when it works, LOL. So I feel like you're dealing with the same thing a lot of that I've heard, too, is just that they're unreliable. Their heads clog, right? The head clogs are probably a thing that you're dealing with all the time. I've heard to really, truly have a DTG, no matter what level you're at, you have to have humidifiers, you have to have air cleaners, like air scrubbers, all kinds of stuff to do it right. Prototype 8. Item on eBay. Number, well, I don't know what that is. Okay. Anyway. All right, guys. You can do it. Grilled teriyaki chicken with noodles. I'm going to do orange chicken and something else from Panda. Dude, that's what I'm doing. Oh, man. Mouth watering. Can't wait. You guys, This was a good hang, man. Thank you for the super chat, my man. That was like super fucking cool, bro. I love them. Shroom Brothers keeps hooking me up with them super chats, man. Yeah, as y'all know, I make virtually, I think I make $100 a month in YouTube revenue. So all of this is a labor of love. So when you help me out like that, dude, it just shows that you care and you value my content, and that's all that matters. So thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. But we gotta get out of here. So I got to do my outro, and I'm going to read it because that way I don't miss anything. If I'm left to my own devices, bro, I graze over shit and I forget to bring it up. So I just want to reiterate, if you made it this far, guys, thank you so much. Every time I go live, please share. Just share the YouTube channel. Someone asked earlier where my hub is, where the central hub is for all this. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're sharing, I want you to link to the Print Life YouTube channel so that people can subscribe and see all the content. That's what I want you guys sharing all the time. Please. I want like I'm daddy or something. But the whole goal of all this right now is to grow that channel, the YouTube channel. So that's the hub. That's where you send everybody. So please share it, man. And remember that this podcast, this live video podcast, is live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time or Central Standard Time, whatever the hell you call it. Mountain Standard Time, Arizona Time. And then 2 days later, again tonight, I upload it to iTunes and Google Play. So you can listen to this in audio format on your way to work or while you're taking shit. Either one. So do all that good stuff. And then, you guys, this is the most important thing. If you take one thing from this tonight, this is what you need to take from it. I'm uploading every day to YouTube, okay, in an attempt to grow that channel. I want to hit 20,000 subscribers by the end of 2017. It's a very lofty goal, and it means I got to get 1,500 subscribers a month. The only way I'm going to do that is if you guys help me by sharing shit out of it. Share it in all the Print Life groups. If you have connections to any of the industry magazines or anything like that, just get me in front of them so I can do interviews and press releases or whatever, dude. Just help a brother out. And just remember that for the next 3 months, I'm uploading some kind of video every single day of the week. On Wednesday, my video is the live thing. So there's not going to be an upload on Wednesday. I did it. I uploaded the video I shot yesterday this morning. But what I should have done is saved the video I shot yesterday, did the live feed today, and then uploaded that video tomorrow morning. So just this time, I don't have an upload for tomorrow. But technically, I did two videos today. So I didn't miss a day. I just uploaded them both at the same time. Okay. So, but yeah, dude, guys, that's it. Watch all my content. Share all my content. Help me get to 20,000 subscribers by the end of 2018 or more. And then with that, I need to get 20,000 subscribers usually equals out to about 1 million total channel views, which is what we're trying to do. Now, I do have a lot of stuff lined out. Marshall just did my interview for Impressions Magazine, which will be out sometime. The podcast is coming out this year. And then I'm doing the ISS thing, so I'm gonna try to make some industry connections there. So I'm putting all the stuff together to try to push this channel, but I do need your guys' help. And ultimately, if you can't do anything else, just watch all my videos and comment and like them. If you can't do anything, if you can't share, if you don't want to drive everyone crazy, then at least comment and like and watch every video. Cool, guys? You know I love the Print Fam, and the fact that you guys are involved with me this long just means the world to me. So thank you. I hope you all had an incredible holiday. This is the first time I'm talking to you since the holiday wrapped. And I hope you all have incredible New Year's resolutions, and more importantly, that you stick with them. Like, I'm going to stick with mine. No drinking. God damn it. So, that's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Wednesday at 7 p.m. And remember, a video a day keeps the Print Fam happy. And yeah, what the fuck ever. Later, guys.